We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up? Happy Thanksgiving. Lenora boys are back. It's a great day, bro. It's my favorite culinary day of the year.
Oh my God, you put it culinary day of the year.
Favorite culinary day of the year. I've seen you put some very impressive recipes up.
Dropping hints.
Yeah. Lucky Lefty podcast. Some of you got Sean Davis at SD2 Mics. That dude right there, the original Lucky Lefty himself. We are brought to you by Anora Whiskey, AnoraWhiskey.com. That premium American whiskey, AnoraWhiskey.com. And if you drink, by all means, make sure that you drink
responsibly.
You have to drink responsibly. Today, we hear from both coordinators, Tommy Rees, Al Golden. They have a common theme. We'll discuss that. We'll also talk about Notre Dame streaking against USC. And it's funny because isn't it funny how the dude that talks the most trash always ends up not being at the fight? The dude that was talking the most trash for Notre Dame
happens
over
time.
The summer won't be playing this weekend. Won't be there to back up his words. Hopefully, his friend will be able to back up his words. And Joe Klatt of Fox Sports has some very interesting things to say that backs up what you said on Monday's show, bro. I pushed back, but after listening to him, you might be right. We'll talk about that as well. Each and every Thursday, we start off with Malik's three keys to the game. Brought to you by Anora Whiskey, AnoraWhiskey.com, that premium American whiskey, AnoraWhiskey.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Left, let's go get this dub. What's the three keys?
Three keys, man. The first key is no turnovers. I think the last thing you want to do against a team that can score a lot of points is turn the ball over. So we can't have any of those, especially early on when the momentum is going to be flowing so hard for the other team. And then the next key, obviously, it's limiting big plays, but not in the way you think. I think if we can just hold two of their receivers and not let the whole gambit of receivers go crazy, I think that's really the sweet spot for us, because if we just start letting him, you know, throw to whoever's running routes, and no matter where it is on the field, I think it just makes it a harder day for us to be able to manage. You know, I'm not going to say we're going to shut them out and be unrealistic, but I think we need to be able to manage that receiver group by holding only two receivers to having good days. And then lastly, I really want to be able to run that football. We need to have at least three or four rushing touchdowns, because that'll show that the time of possession is on our side, and also we're able to keep their offense off the field. So heavy in the run game, no turnovers, and limit, you know, that receiver room to not having the same day that they have everywhere else they play.
Those are your three keys to victory right here on the Lucky Lefty podcast. Don't forget, CFB Nation, in conjunction with Irish Breakdown, you can go and get all of our great content along with our guy John Garcia Jr., State of Recruiting, over at Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Leave 5 stars. We would greatly appreciate it. Those were your three keys to the game right here on the Lucky Lefty podcast. We spin it different. You know what we do each and every week after we get the three keys? We go to heads or tails. What you got left?
Tails never fails, baby.
Tails never fails, and it is, man. You've been loving on Tommy Rees lately, bro. So we start with Tommy Rees, offensive coordinator for your Fighting Irish. And Tommy Rees talked about his team being ready for this matchup.
I'm just proud of the buy-in from the guys. You know, our players have done a nice job of being really sharp mentally in what we're asking them to do. We add a lot to them. There's some nuanced things that they do really well that, you know, a lot of people wouldn't know, but are high level and things that they're really bought in. So extremely proud of that from our guys. You know, I think the first thing that jumps out, like, team speed for SC is high. You know, there's a lot of movement up front that we got to prepare for. You know, we've seen it a few times, you know, Syracuse and Navy and some of their opponents we've had as of late. But, you know, they present a great challenge. 49 is a really good player. You know, Grinch does a great job. He's been, you know, notable coordinator here for a while, so you know, we got to definitely be ready to go and have our details lined up and make sure that we can continue to play one of them up.
Says the offense is bought in. These guys are ready. I'll be honest. The reason the Boston College game was impressive is because they went out and put up that performance, knowing darn well they knew what was behind Boston College. That's what made the emotions of senior day and the performance they put forth was so impressive to me, because there's no way that team did not know what was waiting for them this weekend.
Yeah, I think it was we know what's on the schedule, and we like taking that trip out here to California every year. You know, we stay at the Radisson. I don't know if they still do it, but they stay at the Radisson. You know? The Ritz-Carlton, we stay at some nights. Radisson.
Wait. Y'all stayed at the Ritz?
Yeah, we stayed at the Ritz, man. Right off the highway. Right off the highway. Real fancy. Well, like I said, I don't know if they do it now. You know, Coach Kelly was bougie. He just liked staying there because they gave us at the top of the hotel.
The Ritz you're talking about is not too far from the SC campus.
That's right.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, and we
had exactly what you're talking about. Okay.
Great pregame meal. Great dinner when you get there. I mean, you know, they definitely go all out and understand that we're all taking time away from our families. And so they treat us real nice over there. So I'm just excited, man, to see how this showdown is going to be. This is a great ND-SC matchup. It hasn't been fun the last couple of years because we've been kicking their butt. But now we're in a position where we're seen as underdogs, finally a position where I think the team has been, you know, chomping at the bit to be at, because I feel like we play better as the underdog. And it's just a good opportunity to really get after it. But, you know, for Tommy Rees, this is a great challenge for him to display, you know, the OC agenda that he's been trying to put out there all year. I mean, there's nothing else to hold back, because at this point we're playing for January 6th and possible, you know, snooping around at top, you know, 10 at some point. So this game is like, it all comes to this, and that's where we want to be as a position. I still think if it was up to Tommy, he probably would have drafted Zach Smith over Lamar Jackson and everybody else, but he's going to have to make Drew a superstar today. And that's a task in of itself. It needs to have some explosive plays in that pass game. And I think we can really have a chance of getting it to the last possession. And I know we asked this question earlier. Would you rather have offense on the field at the last possession or defense? Yeah. And I'm going with offense. I think we can go in there and get a last-minute drive to win, steal a game in the Coliseum and move onward to a hopefully January 6th bowl.
Yeah, and I think what we have to notice very quietly, for five consecutive games, Notre Dame has scored 35 points. That's been really this offense has kind of been consistent in building and getting better despite its flaws. They've been able to produce. And that makes you feel well going up against a defense that is going to give up points. Will 35 points win this week? That's a great comment. All right, guy Chris, happy Thanksgiving, my brother. Will 35 points win this week?
I think 38 would win, but it'll just be interesting. I think SC will do what they do. I don't think they would do as well as how they have, even against Utah when they lost that game against Utah. It was 42-43 or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think we have to score 38. I think they'll be in the 30s, but we got to be at 38. So I'm excited, man. It's going to be an interesting game.
One of the things he did point out was how in the preparation, he knows that what they'll see is not new to them anymore. I think Syracuse and Navy will have this team more than ready to face another defense that's small and likes to move and jump around prior to the snap. Navy did it a different way. Navy took Syracuse in the film and said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to pressure more rather than just move around. So now they've seen both sides of that equation. So really, they're prepared for whatever Alex Grinch, the defensive coordinator, and the Trojans decide to do to combat the run game of Notre Dame.
Yeah, there's only so many ways you can skin a cat and trying to limit what we're doing on offense. But the run game is about physicality. And so, yeah, you can move around, jump around, but you got to fit into those gaps at some point and meet that running back in the hole. I really like their player, Corey Foreman. He made the game-winning pick against UCLA last year. He was a five-star recruit. I know a lot about him from overtime, but it's just going to be a long day. I don't think we've seen anybody consistently on the defensive side of football want to tackle all three of our running backs all game, and I think that needs to be a point of emphasis. Yeah, you may have some great schemes, but when that fourth quarter comes around, you can't avoid what's coming directly at you. So, you know, this is a game USC's going to have to strap their helmets up for. And we're happy to be out here because it's warmer weather. We ain't got to play in no frozen tundra or no snow bowl. So that's going to, you know, raise the level of intensity that we're bringing, because this is almost like vacation football in a way. So we're going to be in a good state of mind. There's no excuses. And we know we're going to run that football. So I think that the defense is going to present some challenges for the O-line to get some of the blocking schemes. But at the end of the day, they still got to tackle. And I think that's SC's biggest weakness, if any, on this Lincoln Riley football team.
And talking about that running game, Tommy Reese was asked about the running game continuing to be dominant despite people knowing what Notre Dame wants to do.
Good job of all 11 being bought in. You know, that's something we preach all the time, is to have a really strong running game. It's not just the line. It's not just the backs or the tight ends. Like, all 11 need to be bought in. So see our receivers really taking ownership, you know, using them as in different ways to help add on blockers. You know, we have a lot of belief right now on certain things that if we call them, that they're going to make them work. That's a tribute to our players. You know, I think we're doing a nice job as a staff keeping people off balance with some complementary pieces within there, and we're finding new ways each week to have a wrinkle here or there. And at the end of the day, we're going to hang our hat on being able to be physical when teams know that we're going to be physical, and we'll continue to try to find ways to have the best season.
Yo, all 11 bought in. That's the key to the running game, being able to do what it needs to do despite having 7, 8, 9 in the box. And I'll give you one point before I let you dive in on this, left. The other team that plays a similar style is the one that put up 40-plus points and came away with a victory over USC. Utah as well. Really good tight ends in the passing game, right? Like to use 12 and 13 personnel a lot. And you have to imagine smaller players, when they see that 12, 13 personnel and they know they got to crash heads instead of having fun and running around, it tests your manhood a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we want to do. We want to be able to make this not a Golden State Warriors basketball game. We want to make this like a old school Detroit Pistons game. You know, we got to sack Michael Jordan. We got to hit him extra. You know, we got to do whatever it takes. Be extremely physical. Mm-hmm. That's the Detroit Bad Boys basketball team. And I think that's the persona we'll go into this game with. We know that this is a high-flying, exciting team to watch. They got a lot of glitz and glamours. You know, they're the Lambos of the Pac-12. But, you know, we're the monster trucks, and we're looking to roll over you and not make this a pretty game to where – you know, you getting sent off to New York with the Heisman after playing us because you had about 6 million yards and 30 touchdowns and we couldn't do nothing about it. So we're looking to be the monster truck that gets dirty today, and hopefully that adds anxiety to their offense that they got to score with limited possessions and also being behind. I think if we can just stay ahead of the sticks and ahead of the scoreboard, you know, we've never seen them in a position where, outside of Oregon State, where they really had to get all their pieces and ducks in a row if they wanted to win. So stressing them like that, I think that's the best thing we can do, because, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say we're going to, you know, like last week, shut them out. But we definitely need to have a solid showing that we just not going to let you do whatever you want either.
Lucky Lefty Podcast, talking about Tommy Reese and his comments with the media as we prepare for Notre Dame, USC, Saturday night, prime time. Notre Dame looking to continue streaks against the Trojans out there in California. And we'll get to those streaks in a little bit. What's on the line? What's on the line for USC is that college football playoff berth. And one of the reasons they're in this position, it's because they're number one in the nation at this. And Tommy Reese says that's the focus this week. If we don't do this, we will be successful.
Going on with football, I think they're number one in the country in turnover margin. Not giving them extra possessions, not giving them short fields. Playing complimentary football, doing our part. You know, Ohio State's a long time ago. We were a completely different team now than we were then. And, you know, we want to try to highlight our strengths and make sure we do some things that give us a chance to move the ball and score some points. You know, I have a ton of belief in our defense. Obviously, they've been playing great all year. So, you know, we'll see how the game flows. But we're always, you know, eager to play complimentary football.
Complimentary football. What does he mean by that?
He wants to try to be balanced, and I think he wants to be able to put the ball in Drew's hand comfortably on situations where we need first downs, passing known situations. And, we 12, 13 games in, right? No. We're about 12 games in. So if Drew ain't doing it now, when is he ever going to do it? So I wouldn't mind being able to be balanced like that. I think it would add a new dynamic piece to our offense. I know Tommy's been one and chomping at the bit to throw it all year. And I think Drew at this point should be comfortable enough in this big game to not be skipping balls and overthrowing ball, or not overthrowing, you never do that, underthrowing footballs to, keep them honest. I think USC is going to be like, look, if Drew beats us, fine, but we ain't letting that run game beat us. So we're going to have to keep them honest on the outside. They're going to play man. That's the type of team we're going against. This team has a lot of swag, a lot of confidence. So it's going to have to be equaled out with a balanced attack. And we're going to have to stress them, man. This is all about stressing their team, especially their offense, if we want a chance to victory.
You're definitely going to have to stress that offense, man, and make Caleb Williams feel like each and every throw is paramount, right? Like, you limit the possessions. The same way Navy tries to make Notre Dame feel. You limit the possessions. You put points on the board. And you make Caleb Williams and his offense and his receivers feel like every time they step on the field, they have to score. And every time you stop them, it almost feels like that's two stops in a game. You want to put the pressure on them and mount the pressure, because the pressure's already there, bro. They have to run the table. They're in the Pac-12 championship game, but they need to run the table. And even if they run the table, there still might be a debate of whether or not they deserve to be in the college football playoffs.
Yeah, I think this is a great opportunity to show why the College Football Committee is biased, and we are the top eight teams, top nine teams in the country that deserve to be in a New Year's Six Bowl, but also a team that needs to be watched on TV. I don't think anybody wants to turn on the TV in January 6th and see, a TCU play and get blown out, or see an Oregon flop in front of national television, or you want to see the traditional programs that are spoke a lot about early on in the year that end up getting better on rare form to be able to perform when it matters the most. And I think that's what we fall in line with every year, regardless of how early we lost and to who we lost to early. I think we've proven that we're a high number right now. And, we got teams like SC worried. I don't think they're thinking they're going to do what they did to UCLA to us. They know there's going to be a much more physical and tougher game, and win, and a comfortable win and a confident win. I think it'll put a lot to rest that, we may not be quite there yet, but we're not out of the top 10 either. They tripping.
42 points per game. That's what the USC offense puts up. Notre Dame, on average, holds opponents 8.2 points lower than what they score, which will put USC right at about 34 points. We asked if 35 will be enough. You wanted it to be a little bit more comfortable asking for 38, but it seems like Notre Dame is going to have to be high 30s, even into the 40s, to probably come away with the win on Saturday night.
Yeah, look, we try to come away with this win. I think if anything, this will be a great win for Marcus Freeman. Great win for Marcus Freeman against another rivalry. Just to kind of cap a regular season that had some rocky road in the beginning. But to finish as strong as he can finish today, beating the Clemson that was top four, beating the SC that's top six, I think that is leaps and bounds ahead of probably what he expected going into the first season, regardless of how well he felt about the team. I think he probably had some reserves. I would have too. Okay, we got Ohio State, Clemson, SC. Two out of three would be great. I don't think he was thinking 3-for-3. He wouldn't tell nobody that, but I don't think he was thinking 3-for-3. But 2-for-3, I think, yeah, we can get it done. And so it had changed the perception, not only going into the bowl game season, but also the next year, then the momentum we can bring from that and still ruin SC season like we know we can. And hopefully, I know Michigan's probably a loser today, but give us Michigan. We'll whoop up on Michigan for a New Year's Six. It ain't no problem.
Absolutely, we can do it that way. Let's talk about the Notre Dame defense and what they will be facing. Like we said, 42 points per game. That's Caleb Williams. That's the USC offense. A plethora. I can't do. Arsenal. Yeah, so many things you can say.
Your weapons. Nukes and bombs and grenades and
everything missiles. They have.
Yeah.
And of course, they have Lincoln Riley, guru, who's able to use them in different formations in different ways. Al Golden, just like Tommy Rees, feels like the key to the game will be the same.
It's critical each week. You know, when things weren't so good and earlier in the season, we could have helped our offense tremendously with field position or, you know, scoring. You know, we scored a couple of times. We got one taken away from us the other day. That really should have been a touch. But, you know, it's going to be a really, really big part of the game. And all three phases, you know, for Notre Dame, you know, have to execute that, whether it's protecting the ball or trying to take it away.
Taking the ball away. Turnovers, USC, it is their bloodline, offensively and defensively. It's the way they ended the game against USC. It is paramount. If they don't have turnovers, they're a totally different team. And Notre Dame knows that. That's the focus offensively and defensively.
You damn right. And you know what? We need some turnovers. I think USC is going to watch their film and they're like, we don't know about throwing it on Tony's way, but we still got great playmakers in that secondary. And also, you got to think we have a D line that's going to affect the nature of the game. So it's going to be a lot of running around from Caleb, even though he can handle it. I think it's going to give us a good chance, though, if we keep him on his feet running around, that we're going to get some opportunities to get some picks or some turnovers. And then think about their run game, they can't. So hopefully we can get some short stops and get some fumbles and make Caleb throw 50 times if he want to beat us.
Lucky Lefty Podcast, CFB Nation, Apple Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
that's right.
Spotify, all of our great content is available in conjunction with Irish Breakdown. Go over to CFB Nation right now on both platforms. Download the podcast today and all of our shows. Listen to it 1, 2, 3 times to get you prepared for Saturday night. Lucky Lefty Podcast. We spin it different. Al Golden went on to talk about not only the turnovers being a key to this game, but he also feels like, you know what? My defense is a little fresh because we haven't given extra snaps like most defenses that Notre Dame has had in the past going into the late season. They've been a little rugged, a little weary. This Notre Dame defense has not wavered. This is why.
Right. We've done a good job, I think, of trusting some of those guys and rolling them in there. And hopefully it'll pay dividends down the stretch here, you know, today and then and moving forward. So, I mean, this weekend moving forward. But, yeah, we've tried to do whatever we can to protect those guys and hopefully they'll respond for us this week.
Hopefully the response will be great. Having the opportunity for Al Golden and his defense. And sometimes early in the season, they show faith to younger players. They show faith to the second string players. And we were wondering why starters weren't in there. And why is Isaiah Foskey on the sideline? Look, they wanted this defense to be fresh because Notre Dame defenses historically have not been as good in November as they were in the middle of the season and the beginning of the season. And that's because starters – usually got a lot of snaps, had a lot of snaps on their bodies. That won't be the case on Saturday night. This Notre Dame defense should be pretty fresh and ready to go on the Coliseum.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So, it's going to be very interesting to see how they continue to do on Saturday night, trying to build this streak. And the streak is pretty much trying to stack wins against USC. Cam Hart was adamant. Notre Dame has done so well in recent history against USC that he feels like they don't even consider USC a rival anymore. Now, you know, that's a little tongue-in-cheek. They were on their podcast. But, you know, he really felt like in his time here at Notre Dame, USC not only hasn't been a rival, but the games really haven't been close. I fully expect this game to be close. And not only that, the reason it's going to be close is because we're now no longer facing Jackson Dart or Keaton Slovis. That's a young man that has the possibility of raising that big trophy sometime in the month of December. That used to be at Oklahoma, but now he's in Southern California. He's the difference. And Al Golden says, yeah, he's going to be tough.
Excellent. Again, he's really working his progressions right now. He's getting the ball out. So his decision-making is really, I just see a difference, you know, in his decision-making. I think it's tremendous right now for him. His ability to create on the run. You know, he can stand in the pocket and deliver it, but when he does leave the pocket, his eyes are downfield, and he can beat you with his, you know, his legs or his arms. So again, really a complete player, as good as anybody we've seen at quarterback, and a great challenge.
He will be a big challenge for the Fighting Irish. I'll say this though, and I have to give credit to Joel Klatt. I mentioned it in the opening that we would talk about one of the statements that he made. And talking on the Herd, he said this: the last time Caleb Williams faced a pass defense ranked as high as Notre Dame, which is 16th in the nation against the pass, it was last year against Ohio State. Let me just pull up those stats. But basically, he was saying and pointing out that Iowa State defense was ranked. Basically, look, because my computer is tripping right now. The Iowa State defense was the highest ranked passing defense that he had faced. And you look at the numbers. Let me just give you some of the passing defense rankings of the teams that he's faced just in this year. Just within the conference. Seven conference games. I believe these are the last 17. The last 17 that Caleb Williams has faced. This is incredible, dude. Check this out. Pass defense rankings: 98, 118, 69, 70, 106, 96, 104. I'm going through that one more time. The pass defensive rankings that Caleb Williams has faced this year: 98, 118, 69, 70, 106, 96, 104. That Iowa State game that I'm talking about, where Oklahoma did win 28-21 in 2021, Caleb Williams, 8 for 18, 87 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Caleb Williams has not faced a pass defense on the level of Notre Dame in a very, very long time. And in saying that, he pointed out that basically, because of the style of play that Notre Dame has, this thing could get away from USC if they're not careful. Some people say he predicted that USC would get blown out. That's not what he said. He said, based upon the underrated level of play by the secondary and the defense of Notre Dame versus the pass, it would be the toughest test for Caleb Williams that he's seen in over a full year. How he reacts to that, no one knows. We'll be able to see it live on Saturday night. But the stakes will be much higher, the pressure will be much higher, and the level of what's coming against him is going to be totally different. He's going to be in a different comfort zone or out of his comfort zone. Once again, the 7 conference pass defenses he's faced this year, 98, 118, 69, 70, 106, 96, 104. That's not Notre Dame. I said earlier in the week that Notre Dame would win a close one. Ladies and gentlemen, I now see a path because of what he pointed out, Joe Klatt. I now see a path to Notre Dame winning this game comfortably. I really do. If Notre Dame gets up and they don't have to worry about Austin Jones and the rushing attack of USC giving balance to their offense, Caleb Williams is in trouble. Caleb Williams is in trouble. And it's not because Notre Dame has 4 defensive backs that can just lock up man-to-man. It's a combination of what they can do and how well they play together, whether it's zone or man. That's one of the key things we talked about. The improvement defensively that we've seen is that we have not seen the blown coverages, even when Notre Dame was beating teams like North Carolina. They were having 2 to 3 blown coverages. We saw it against BYU. You have not seen the same amount of blown coverages. Notre Dame in that secondary has gotten much better as the season goes on. That's the key. Pressuring Caleb Williams, not allowing him to get out of the pocket and make big plays with his feet, and then do what you've been doing. Play great complementary football together as a secondary in conjunction with the linebackers in the front 4. Caleb Williams is seeing a totally different beast, and he hasn't seen one like it in a long time. And the last time he saw one comparable, he struggled mightily. That could be a key moving forward and how things play out this weekend. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Everyone. We wanted to wake up and give you guys, make sure Malik gave you the 3 keys and make sure we went through the numbers, the breakdown of the matchups, and let you hear from the offensive coordinators. You heard from Tommy Rees. You heard from Al Golden. Now it's time to go enjoy family. Now it's time to go enjoy your meals. Have fun. Have a great holiday. From Lucky Lefty Podcast, for Malik Zaire, I'm Sean Davis. We appreciate you guys so much. And may the eternal blessings and favor of God be upon you and your entire family for the remainder of this year and the remainder of your lives. From Lucky Lefty Podcast, happy Thanksgiving. Godspeed. Have a fantastic day. But most of all, you gotta make sure that you spin it different. See you guys tomorrow morning.